It's a little bit before 6 o'clock on Wednesday, September 19th. Welcome to another podcast episode so that we can talk about an upcoming walk and event that I've been a part of for 5 years. It's Eric Chase. Let me introduce my friend, Rachel Vallis. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, podcast land.
Podcast land?
That was really, sure.
That was really lame.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Did you find the song?
I mean, I'm not the most non-lame person you've ever met, let's be honest.
Do we want to rank it?
Ooh.
Like where is Rachel on the Eric Friend Power Poll?
Right. Wait, I'm up there. That's right.
You're top 20.
Wow! Score!
And you'll probably move up a lot over the next couple of weeks since we'll probably have a lot of communication back and forth.
Right.
Or at least Jen and I have had a lot of communication back and forth.
I know.
So Rachel is here because Rachel is. Are you the director, the walk chair person?
I am just the Toledo Out of the Darkness walk chair.
Okay, walk chair person for the Out of the Darkness walk, which we're going to talk about, which is coming up on October 6th, underneath the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention (AFSP).
Correct.
Let's do like logistics and stuff. Are we going to have sound?
We will have sound. His name is Asa, and he actually put on a concert as a fundraiser for one of our participants last year. And so I just reached out to him on a whim, and I said, "Hey, do you know of anybody who can do it?" He's like, "I'm free. I'll come out and do it." He's
okay.
Like, "How? You know, what kind of sound are you looking for? How loud does it need to be?" And I told him, I was like, "All I can picture is you standing in front of a garage, like rubbing your chin, thinking, how many square miles can I cover?" So I told him, I was like, it's a family outing that, you know, we don't need to rattle ProMedica, but
no, it's not going to be like a Taylor Swift show landed at Promenade Park.
No, it sure will not. But yes, we will have sound.
So I have good news and I have bad news.
I always like to get the bad news first then, because then the good news makes me happier.
I don't really have any bad news. That was the bad news. I was hoping to get... I have good news.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe...
There's been a lot that has kind of busted on us this year. You know, a month ago, we got told that we couldn't have it at International Park, which is where it's been for the last 3 years because of the construction out there. So then we had to change all of our signage and get things reprinted and try to...
Okay, that's a headache.
The logistics of it is a headache. That's been quite a headache. But I'm anxious. What's your good news? Give it to me.
Maybe it's just with who I hang out with, but the name resonates with people. Like... No one, if I bring it up, if I say the Out of the Darkness walk, people know what it is.
That's awesome. I think last year, I'm going to quote you, air quotes here, in saying the Out of the Darkness walk is the fastest growing walk in Toledo.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if it's based in fact, but I will take it.
There's so many... crap lines out there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Crap marketing lines. That's we can do the fastest. I forgot about that one.
Oh,
but you did remind me. I said we're on our way to being a 2 food truck walk.
We actually just got our first food truck.
Well, we need another one because we're big now.
We are big, but yes, we are going to actually have a food truck.
Ooh.
This year. Smash dogs.
Okay, hot dogs. So,
yeah, I was looking at the menu, and they have, I think, hot dogs in a variety of different ways.
Okay.
Different types of French fries and platters, and yeah. Okay. So we will have them out there, and a portion of their sales, a portion of the proceeds will come back to the walk.
So that was the good news. Like, when I say Out of the Darkness walk, or reference it in some way, people are aware of it.
That's awesome. I just got tingles everywhere.
There you go. That's the good news. I'll come up with some bad news. Don't worry.
I mean, you don't have to. Okay. I mean, really.
I enjoy being a wet blanket, though.
I mean, you're really good at it. I understand this. However,
I live in a place many people don't. It's called reality. Like, you stomped in here saying, "I need all the traffic and people to get out of my way."
Yeah.
Just simply not going to happen.
Right? I mean, they should just see my car coming and know I need to drive down this road.
I think that's called a presidential caravan. So.
Right, maybe.
Are you 35?
Psh, yeah. I'm a little older than you are.
Okay. Well, then you can run for president.
Sure.
And you get that presidential caravan. boom, you know, people get out of your way.
Right?
They will run you off. I got run off of 696 in Detroit before because of an Obama thing. Like, they will not hesitate. You get treated like a worldwide terrorist.
Right.
When that caravan's coming, you get off the road.
Right. I could hire you to be my chief of media.
I want nothing to do with politics. People are... Do you know... The only fun part would be, like, I would have to drag all the skeletons and the actual still living bodies out of the closet instead of people digging into my past.
Right.
They're like, here they are. Here's the skeletons and the bodies. Yeah, you don't want that.
Well, come to think of it, I don't want to be president then because...
Exactly.
They don't... I don't need any of that happening.
Exactly. You don't want all those stories out there, made up or not.
Right.
So the Out of the Darkness Walk is on October 6th.
It is.
American AFSP, American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. Are we calling it, I've started to talk more about it on the air. Mm-hmm. Is the Out of the Darkness, is it a suicide awareness or suicide prevention? Which direction are we going with it?
I think it's all of the above.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's an awareness event because we want to get out there and show the community that we need to talk about this. This is a serious issue. Your brain can get sick just like any other organ or area of your body, and it's not something to be ashamed of. So let's raise awareness to it, but also the funds raised will go to suicide prevention efforts. So research, program development, rolling out educational programs to our communities. We've been to a bunch of different tabling events, handing out suicide prevention information to the area. So
you guys were at the NAMI walk. I saw
we were at the NAMI walk.
Peggy.
That's
what I. Yeah.
Peggy's awesome.
I've run into her a couple of places.
Absolutely.
My friends with the Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition.
Yes.
They'll be at your walk, our walk.
Perfect.
So
perfect. Are they coming out to our vendor fair?
What's that?
It's the tabling event that we have out there where they can pass out information.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Excellent.
Bringing all my mental health buddies together.
Fantastic.
Who are some of... So Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition will be there. My friend Jen Wakefield, their coordinator that I work with. Who else will be at the event? We talk about, you know, resources that can that people can tap into. Whenever I encourage people to come out to this, I always say, this is like... People are a little ashamed, a little embarrassed to talk about this, as you mentioned. Great place to come ask the questions and not in whisper form. So who's going to be out there?
So right now, we're still working on solidifying our vendors. But Zeph is a gold sponsor this year for us. So I anticipate them having a table. I know we've been contacted by Harbor. I just got off the phone with somebody on the way here, and they're making sure that Unison is going to be out there. So all of your big heavy hitters.
Yep.
We have a couple of other organizations. I can't remember the names off the top of my head.
It's okay.
I'm really bad at this.
There's always a good group of people out there to tap into.
Right.
Do you remember was it Lake High School last year?
We are trying to get them back again.
Explain what they did, because what they did last year was incredible and well beyond their years of maturity, emotional maturity.
Absolutely. I'm not exactly sure how it got started, but they had these purple kind of braided bracelets that they tied leather braided bracelets that they tied a knot in and had a little sign with it that said, "You are not alone," K-N-O-T, alone, as kind of an awareness, like just, you know, as people do the semicolon movement or something. It's just something kind of like that. Just a reminder that you always have somebody out there. Somebody will listen to you. Somebody, you know, even if you feel like you're in the depths of despair and you're alone in this world, you really are not. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody out there for you. So, I mean, I can't remember the last count, but I want to say it was in the hundreds of thousands, if not million, bracelets that they had distributed.
Yeah,
I mean, it's exceptional.
I think they got some national acclaim. I forget how or where, but you told me, somebody told me out there, and I went over and talked to those kids, and what a great project.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Maybe most importantly of all, are we going to have a clown again?
We will. We will have Tip Top out there, and Tip Top is bringing a friend.
We're a two-clown walk.
We are a two-clown walk.
What else can we get to scare the crap? We're going to have like a spider petting zoo, maybe?
No.
No? Snakes?
If you ever want me to see me scream and instantaneously cry like a little kid, I am, that's me.
How tell your story again about how you got involved with this cause, which is a, it's a somber one. Look, I'll much different from many other walks. Mm-hmm. We read names, and it's a quiet, somber, sullen time. Mm-hmm. But as we'll talk about, it's to let other people know that you're not alone. You know,
right.
If you've been touched by suicide, there's someone who's just like you. So how'd you get into this?
So February of 2002, I lost my aunt to suicide. December of 2004, I lost my mom after she had had two prior suicide attempts. They were sisters. It was kind of a cumulative effect. I mean, obviously it was awful with my aunt. And then when my mom died, it spiraled. It was just unbelievable. When I was in the receiving line for my mom's funeral, so many people would come through the line, and they would talk to me and, you know, in a normal tone of voice. But the minute that they brought up depression or suicide, they lowered their voice into a whisper. And I thought, this is ridiculous. You know, despite how my mom's life ended, or even my aunt's, or anyone out there who has died by suicide, they still were a person. How they left this world should not define who they are. And if she had died of cancer or in a tragic accident or, you know, had a stroke or, you know, any number of other causes of death, they wouldn't have lowered their voice. And right. That was just appalling to me. And I thought at that moment that I needed to do something at some point to break that stigma, because I'm very proud of my mom. My mom was an amazing woman. So was my aunt. My mom and my aunt, they raised beautiful children who have gone on now, you know, years and years later to have families of their own and, you know, go to college and get married. And so they did an amazing job when they were here. And I didn't want, again, the way they died to define them and for people to only remember them in that way. I wanted to make sure that when people talked about my mom or talked about my aunt, that they weren't, you know, hiding or whispering about what led to their death. So I was living in Central New York in 2009, and I got connected with the local chapter of AFSP out there, started, volunteered with their walk the first year, moved back here, and have been part of the Toledo Out of the Darkness walk ever since.
Two questions. One, I don't think I've ever asked you before.
Ooh.
Do you feel like people's voices have been raised since you've been involved and around all of this, and there's less whispering about this stuff?
I see glimmers of improvement in that area. I mean, it's not going to change overnight, obviously, but I think the more people like yourself who are okay with just coming out and talking about it and not being ashamed and not letting the stigma impact what you say and how you say it and whatever, that it starts the conversation with other people. And it's amazing. I'm sure you've had this in your multitudes of talks that you've given, but once you mention something about it or once you bring it up, it's just the floodgates open, and mm-hmm. then suddenly everybody has a story to tell. Yeah. But they're not going to be the ones to bring it up.
Yeah.
So
there's more dialogue now, mm-hmm. and I'm maybe too immersed in the Twitterverse, mm-hmm. so I see a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But as far as like everyday people and interacting, I mean, people come up to me and talk to me about it, but it's because who and what I am. So that's why, like, I always try to pick people's brains as far as like the natural discourse mm-hmm. of this, if there still is whispering or people are afraid to use these things. So
it's definitely still out there. I get calls from people who want to be part of the event, and they're still struggling with even saying the words. You know, suicide is not a bad word. You don't have to be ashamed to use it. You could actually even say it in church. But you're not going to be stricken down dead because it's a bad word.
Yeah, and people, I got asked a question. I think it was when I was giving a talk at the synagogue for Sunday school kids and their families. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, what do you do when What do you do when somebody says, like, I think it's all in your head or some nonsense like that? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just walk away because that person is clearly a moron. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't reason with the unreasonable.
Right.
Anybody that's asking that question, they're a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no basis for asking that question and getting a reasonable answer because you're likely not to accept it anyway.
Right. Well, just because of the tenacious person that I am, look at me, I'm trying to use big words because I always have to look up words when I listen to you talk. Mm. But
I can go back to the F words if you want.
Whatever. Okay. I mean, have at it.
Okay. Oh, so you're being tenacious.
So anyway, if I hear somebody make comments like that, I quote one of the most amazing women that I've ever met, Tara Nakin. She's the area director for Utah and Nevada with AFSP. And she mentioned in an interview that she gave that, you know, people will say, you know, just get over it or suck it up or, you know, get on with it or, you know, being out there in Utah, like cowgirl up, right?
Right.
But she had said, you know what, if I was having trouble with diabetes and I was having trouble controlling my blood sugar, would you tell me to just pull up my bootstraps and, right, you know, push through it and everything was going to be okay and not seek the help and not, you know, go through the motions to make mm-hmm. themselves better?
Just get over that pancreatic cancer you have.
Yeah. Just, you know, will it away.
I don't know if we're ever going to crack through the cement ceiling, I'll call it, instead
right.
of a glass ceiling.
Right.
Because it's not tangible.
Right.
I mean, you can't see cancer, but you right. can see it eroding away someone's body.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes, I guess it's because it's so pervasive, people understand it and what people have to do to manage it.
Right.
I don't know, maybe heart disease, which right. so many people die from. That's not real tangible because mm-hmm. People are usually overweight or something
right.
when it comes to that.
Well,
I mean, you can't see what's wrong with someone's brain.
Right. Well, I mean, two things there. It is tangible to the person.
Right.
And, you know,
but we're often hiding it.
Right, exactly. But, you know, part of what I do is, regardless if the person ever thinks about it or even, you know, bats an eye at when I come back at them, because with the, you know, if I had diabetes, would you tell me to just pull up my bootstraps and suddenly my blood sugar would be okay? Is all I can think of is that it's my hope that at least for a second, maybe not now, maybe not, you know, in 5 years or 5 days or 5 weeks, but maybe somehow, some way that will have planted the seed to maybe break their cement ceiling. Because, you know, you can't change things unless you challenge them. And, you know, my poor boss, you can ask him. I challenge things all the time.
Well, these days, challenging people is a bad idea. Then shit gets written on people's houses.
I don't have a house, so there. Boom.
They'll write on your car.
Well, that's true.
Maybe the way to break through that ceiling is when these things actually affect these people's lives personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone said, oh, just get over the depression.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if their child went through something mm-hmm. like that and they saw it on a day-to-day basis and saw the,
right.
the erosion of their child's mood, and if
right.
they potentially killed themselves, maybe then it would resonate, and then they'd think back and go, that lady said, like the example that you used, the metaphor.
Right.
Other than that, I will not engage with those people. It's just pointless.
Because I'm tenacious and I'm pretty much a bitch, I absolutely okay. will engage with them.
Okay.
Like, it just will make me feel better, if nothing
Fair
else.
Enough. No, I get it. You want the other question I don't think I've ever asked you before?
Sure.
With your aunt and your mom, mm-hmm. how deep into sorrows did you get, and how much thought did you give to suicide?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I only ask good questions.
I'm sorry. I take back the previous statement. But I don't necessarily think I dove into a severe depression.
Mm-hmm.
I do take, you know, a pill every day. Pharmaceutical intervention is my friend. And if that one pill helps keep me feeling normal, where I can get out of bed and I can function, period, then whatever, it's worth it to me.
I tell people, I don't care, like, if as long as you're not substituting one bad vice for another.
Right.
If you have to stick your face in a vat of peanut butter every morning to feel good, I wouldn't suggest having dogs around when you do it. But
right.
if that's what gets you out of bed and gets right. you, pushes you, right. do it.
Absolutely. But I do remember after my mom died, I was actually driving home from one of my counseling appointments, you know, because I needed to talk to somebody.
Sure.
And I remember driving and having this really obnoxious feeling of invincibility where, you know, it was on an icy road. I was in central New York, you know, up around Syracuse, so they get lots of snow.
Sounds like a Stephen King movie.
Right. And I remember coming up on this curve and I didn't slow down as much as I wanted to, or I should have, given the road conditions. And I pulled through on the other side, and I'm like, that was really stupid. But I just felt, you know, nothing else can possibly happen to my family. So, whatever.
Interesting.
You know, it was awful. I think that was just my mind's way of trying to work out some things. I do, actually was just talking to my fiance, a couple... Right? What?
I didn't see that on Facebook. He did well. That shines brightly.
He designed it.
Good for you.
Right? Right? But I was coming out of, some song played and it completely triggered me. Absolutely and completely triggered me. And I remember driving home and it's very similar to, I was, you know, listening to your podcast today, how you said that you considered, you know, if I just like veered my car and hit mm-hmm. this tree, it wouldn't.
Right.
Like, it was just a fleeting thought.
That's fascinating.
It was a fleeting thought for me just because it was a song that had reminded me of my mom. It just triggered
but,
for
like,
whatever
you,
reason.
You challenge, like, this is like cinematic and poetic. Like, you, in the process of like several seconds,
yeah,
thought, fuck the universe. Nothing else bad could possibly happen. I'm going to do away with any kind of inhibition and challenge you right now.
Right. Like, how dare you? Like, you've done so much to my family. How dare you?
Right.
Like, you can't possibly take me away too. But yeah, I mean, but the thing that I'm reminded of is, you know, I know that I have a support system. I know that, you know, I told my fiance about it right away, you know, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, somebody else knew that, hey, it was a fleeting thought for me, but just in case you see big changes, you need to, like,
but that was whatever. That was more like a out of anger and frustration, not like sorrow and depression.
Oh no, that was definitely sorrow and depression. Like, it was a song that I had played for my mom actually when I was driving her to her outpatient therapy, you know, kind of a like trying to remind her how much we love her. And like, it just played and I was like right back there. It was right after her first suicide attempt, and just all of those emotions and concerns and, you know, will this ever get better for her? And it just, everything hit me all at once. And whew, I ran out of that. I think it was at a restaurant, ran out of the restaurant, like bawling in the car. Like, it was just awful.
Good to know. I've never asked you that before.
No, you didn't.
Never asked the suicide walk lady how much she's thought about suicide. Here I am. I'm like, I thought about it here and here and December and here and there.
Right.
I forgot to ask you about it.
Well, now you know.
I feel informed.
You should.
Your credibility's just gone up with me to run the Out of the Darkness walk. It's October 6th at Promenade Park.
Promenade Park.
We'll have a food truck. We'll have a clown. Lots of great resources.
Two clowns. Remember, we were a two clown walk now.
We are the fastest growing walk in Northwest Ohio. Watch
yes.
out, Komen race. Here
right?
we come.
Right.
One of the other interesting things I mentioned earlier is it's kind of somber. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. I've heard you mention that a couple of times.
It's somber.
Okay, so...
We read the names of people who have died by suicide.
Okay.
There are people crying at the walk, and I know this because I see when the people... We have a stack of cards.
Yes.
Registration is... Like, this is different from other walks, no matter how damning they be. Maybe, like, people who have lost their lives to cancer and all that stuff. Because here there are people who have attempted and gotten through it. People who have lost loved ones and they're filling out cards to be of loved ones to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And there are tears that are shed. And I don't know if there are, I don't attend many walks like that. So that's how I think we're different and a little somber.
Okay. Okay. Is it somber in a bad way?
I can't answer that. I don't think I would like those people to be able to move on and get to a place where like I can shut things off in 2 days. Mm-hmm. But if it is cathartic for them, good. But I don't know that it is, and I think it's different for each individual. Mm-hmm. Some people probably have cried. Can you throw out a name of somebody who's been to this walk every year that you've done it? If not, don't worry about it.
Every year, I could tell you. You know, people who have come to many of the, but maybe not every year.
Somebody who comes to this thing every
year. Peggy Myers, I love you.
If their first year might have been the most challenging of all, and it's possibly a lot less emotional with each ensuing year where other people just, you know, cry it out and move on. I don't know. Everybody's different.
You know, there was a family. It was one of our first International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day, and they had lost their wife and mom a week and a half maybe before this event, and I saw them at that event, and they have come to every walk since that, and it has been so wonderful to see them progress.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, people do progress, but, you know, grief doesn't have a timeline. Yep. So you got to kind of let it happen when it happens. I mean, heck, I'm how many years out? What, 14 years from my mom this December? And, you know, I still catch myself, you know, just like hearing a freaking song and I run out of a restaurant in tears. You know, it hits you when it hits you.
You're different from me. You're human. As most people are.
Right. I have a heart. I have a pulse.
Yeah. Most people do, which is why I don't relate to many people.
Right.
Like, I just move on. But I'm happy to be a part of things. And it is, what's a good word? It's a nice big word to use.
Oh, I don't know. I always have to break out our thesauruses when I'm trying to, you know, prepare to talk with you.
I'll say it's... emotionally wrenching when those names are read. It's the closest comparison I can make is like a Veterans and Memorial Day type thing, because these people are those who are not here anymore, and they're loved ones, and they're read slowly so that each name is recognized, and you can hear the sniffles in the crowd. So that's why I say it's a little somber and so on. But then we pick it back up, and then we walk.
Okay.
And
I just don't want everybody to think that it's, you know, you come and it's, you know, tears from the moment you get there to the moment you leave.
Nope, not at all.
You know, we have music, which...
Clowns.
We have clowns. Do you hate clowns? Is that what this is all about? You really hate clowns? Or is this going back to years ago when clowns were like...
Oh, that was funny.
Like hurting people.
That was like an older lady that did it that year.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to be walked out of here. Are you going to be okay?
I just remember you're like, you have a clown?
Right.
You're like, don't you listen to the news?
Exactly.
Oh, for crying out loud.
No, I'm fine with clowns. Okay, so then I'll say this. When we do this, it's like 10 minutes long, and then, you know, we pick it back up, and we haul ass around, I guess, Promenade Park. Do you even have a walk route this year?
That's part of the problem, too. Like, we're still actually working on getting a walk route put together.
Right.
I'm hoping that... I emailed actually the lady who does the Alzheimer's walk. It's going to be the weekend after ours. I emailed her. I'm like, hey, what walk route are you using? Because we just got thrown into this new location. You know, any help you could give us would be great.
You could. God. Do you know where at Promenade Park it's starting?
Promenade Park.
Great.
we actually have our walkthrough with the city of Toledo on Tuesday. So I'll have a whole lot more information then.
Okay.
But there's that little metro park.
Middle Grounds?
I think so.
Yeah. That's a bit of a walk. That's a long walk.
It's supposed to be a 3-mile walk.
Okay. I mean, walk at your leisure. I mean, I walk the dogs down there by the water all the time.
Right.
So I was going to give you like a route or so that I do.
I mean, that would be great. Whatever you have. I mean, Eric Chase, not just a radio personality.
Dog walker.
Podcast world, land, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
person, an MC extraordinaire.
Sometimes.
Can also help us plan our walk route.
I would help you on Tuesday, but I have a NAMI thing to do. Got invited to something. What time is
noon?
It? Can't make it. But why don't you run your walk route by, or have Jen, your assistant, run stuff by me, and then I'll just wait to not get an answer.
Jen is far more than an assistant.
Okay.
Just putting that out there.
No, that's fine. Is there anything else we have to cover? We got the gist of everything, right? Out of the Darkness Walk, suicide awareness, suicide prevention. We welcome all. There's a woman that I know decently well on Facebook terms, and she lost a brother back in August or something, mm-hmm. and I keep pushing her to come to the Suicide Coalition meetings, and you know she's got this marked on her calendar. Mm-hmm. So it's disappointing that it keeps happening, and something we talk about when we do the Suicide Coalition presentations is when there is an overdose. We don't know if it was suicide or not. Sometimes it's accidental.
It's like that unintentional suicide.
Yeah, it's very shadowy. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the throes of some kind of disease. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were just partying too hard. But maybe they were also doing these drugs because they were in a terrible place. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't want to kill themselves, but you know they just went overboard. Maybe they did intend, and mm-hmm. it's shadowy right now. Has any of that stuff resonated in your world in the last couple of years? Has this plague has grown?
It actually, we've gotten a lot of questions about that. You know, what do you do with this? What do you consider with this? And I've reached out to the national office a couple of times saying, hey, you know, how are we supposed to respond to this? You know, what message can we share with people who are, you know, experiencing this? When I think of, you know, all of that starts with a substance abuse, and that all ties back to mental health.
Yeah.
Personally. So it comes from somewhere. I mean, look at our veterans who, a lot of them are out on the streets because they have, you know, PTSD and it hasn't been treated well enough. And so then they turn to drugs and alcohol. And, you know, it's all, I think, more so the substance abuse is a coping mechanism for mm-hmm. something greater.
And then it winds up changing your
yes,
brain chemistry.
Exactly.
And it exacerbates the problem.
Right. Right. I think I just remembered one other point that we were talking about. You were talking about other, you know, modes of death. And suicide remains the 10th leading cause of death, but it is the only leading cause of death that the numbers continue to rise year over year. Every other one, it remains pretty flat.
Because there are medical things like cancer and heart disease mm-hmm. and stuff like
right.
that.
Right, and where they have a tremendous amount of funding.
Yeah, great you point.
You look at the funding that goes to cancer and heart disease, and I mean, it's amazing. But we're talking the funding that goes to suicide prevention is in the millions, mm-hmm. where theirs are like in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah. There's a stat I think we have in one of our presentations, and I don't know if I think it's Ohio based, mm-hmm. but the number, and this was like a Lucas County health survey, mm-hmm. and there's like twice as many suicides as murders.
Mm-hmm.
But murders, if it bleeds, it leads. Is new stuff that we all know.
Right.
It doesn't. It's not a good news story
right.
for TV if it's like Bob, you know, was suffering from depression for a real long time and, mm-hmm. and decided to pull the trigger on himself, literally.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. not a good story. But when it comes to, you know, there was a murder, so there's a break-in mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, there are twice as many suicides than homicides. It's either in Ohio, and I bet it resonates nationally as mm-hmm. well. And it's a great point because while, to go back to what we were talking about in the beginning of this, is there's a better dialogue about this mm-hmm. and with that will eventually come money, but all the other things, because they're far more theatrical mm-hmm. and of interest, I suppose, mm-hmm. it gets the money, it gets the funding, so we can't stop it at the moment, but
right.
we're
working there. I think back to, you know, when we were growing up, think about the 80s when the Ryan White story broke.
Is that the HIV thing?
Yes.
The AIDS? Okay.
Yes. I remember watching that, you know, made-for-TV series or movie, and you think about where we've come with AIDS in such a short period of time. it had such a stigma. Everybody, you know, somebody who had HIV or whatever came over to your house, you threw the plate away. You know, I mean, you think about where we've come with that and where we started. I just think I just have really high hopes for humanity and that we can get there with mental health and suicide. So
I have low hopes for humanity. I think maybe in like 100 years when we can do designer people.
Designer
rewire some of our genes before we're even born.
Right. Well, I mean, look at it for, you know, from even a breast cancer, they have genetic markers that they have identified and can test for and can take preventive measures to prevent that.
Yeah.
I'm such
You could be redundant.
Idiot.
When it comes to cancer, you can be redundant.
Apparently.
But you're right. And I think sometime, I don't know, in the next 20 years, we'll have better imaging of people's brains. Just like you get an x-ray for your arm and it's like that. I think we'll get better scanning and better imaging of the brain. And I mean, we see it now like in the NFL. I mean, that these big organizations have the money and CTE and brain injuries is a big deal. But not if like I just want to go, hey, I think I'm suffering from depression or I think my grief has lasted too long. It's affecting my life, you know, where there's a... There could be a point where there's a baseline brain scan, and then after someone passes away, you know, and you're in grief, we see markers that have changed in your brain.
Right.
Okay, here's what we're going to prescribe you for this.
Right, right.
I think it'll happen in our lifetimes, but we're not really anywhere near close to that.
I thought a couple of years ago, one of the researchers at a university on the East Coast somewhere, I can't remember exactly which one, had thought that they had identified some type of marker that showed a predisposition to like mental health issues or, you know, suicide. So, I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I am hopeful that it's in our lifetime. But, you know, without raising money, you don't have the money for research and you can't get there. And AFSP's the largest private funder for suicide prevention research. So no money, no mission.
And as I always try to remind people, if you kill yourself, you hurt a lot of people. There is like immeasurable, unknowable collateral, emotional collateral damage, emotional shrapnel that flies. And, you know, 90% of suicides are connected to mental health. And nobody wakes up in the morning and they're like, you know what? I'm going to hang out and do a podcast with Rachel. I'm going to go home and have dinner and pet the dogs and kill myself. I mean, something's wrong. Something has twisted the reality in your brain. The chemicals are a little sideways. Your coping mechanisms are lacking. Something's wrong if you believe that you should kill yourself.
Right.
Sorry. Right. We got to get that fixed. And there are plenty of places that will help you out. And there are many resources and therapies and coping mechanisms to get people to. Nobody wants to wake up every day and be miserable.
Ugh, no.
Whenever lately, I've had several people say, "How do I talk to this person?" A friend of mine's nephew is experiencing, and I said, "I don't know how to do this because I'm not a counselor or any kind of clinician." But you can ask him, "Do you want to be happy? Do you want to feel better?" And as remedial as that sounds, I think that's a good place to start.
It is.
Because find me someone that says, you know what? I actually want to feel kind of shitty today.
Right.
Nobody wants to feel sick. Nobody wants to feel upset and miserable. And usually the answer to that question should be yes, I do want to feel better. I want to stop feeling like I want to kill myself. Well, good.
Right.
Okay. Now the door is open. We can go places to get you some help.
Right. Right. Look at you. You're wise beyond your years, Eric Chase.
I know. It's like 240 instead of almost 40.
Right.
Any final thoughts as we wrap up?
I don't think so. I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody out at Promenade Park on Saturday, October 6th. Come and listen to Eric talk some more.
Nobody needs any more of that. Come see the come for the clowns.
Come for the clowns. You'll have to get in line with the kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the kids want their face painted and they want their balloon animals too.
Come for the clowns.
The resource fair.
Get to the food truck.
Absolutely.
Stay for the resources and the walk. If suicide has touched your life in any way, shape, or form, we'd love to see you out there. Like Rachel said, October 6th at Promenade Park. Website, Facebook page, any of that stuff?
We do have a Facebook page. I believe it is Out of the Darkness Walk Toledo. Okay. And you can register online in advance and raise money that way, or register day of. Online is afsp.org/Toledo.
Sounds good. Come join the fastest growing walk in Northwest Ohio. Woo! We are on our way to being a 2 food truck walk.
Yes, we are.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. 3 unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating, and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.